Today's shiur is Masechta Zvachim Daf Mem Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Amar Belozer says the Gemara, Amar Belozer Chatas Shishach L'Shem Chulin, where the Chatas was brought L'Shem Chulin. The halacha is that it's Kshela, that's considered a kosher carbon. However, Mishum Chulin, if the person bringing the carbon assumed that this animal that he was bringing was an animal that was chulin, then the halacha is psula. In other words, that even though we're saying, as we learned at the end of the previous year, that if you had in mind chulin, it's still kosher, but if you think that the animal is chulin, it will be pasul. The reason being, as becomes clear in the Gemara as we begin now, because there's a concept called mas'aseh. And the concept of mas'aseh tells us that in a situation where it's a misasek, it's not considered a machshava at all, that it should be considered a valid cover. Could abide in a Shmuel Rav Huna, as we find Shmuel answer of Huna, menayim a misasek because shu pasul. How do we know that we have a situation of a misasek when someone brings a carbon and it brought as a misasek that the carbon is pasul? Shenema, as the pasuk says, the shochet as ben habakar lifnei Hashem, at shetehei shchita l'shem ben bakar. The shchita has to be l'shem ben bakar, and if it's not l'shem ben bakar, then it's not considered a valid shchita. Machlokes harishonim, what is the definition of misasek b'kodshim? Some rishonim, it seems to be the opinion of Rashi, hold that misasek means that the person just threw a knife, and the knife slaughtered the animal, and that would be considered a case of misasek. Tosfos and other rishonim take issue with Rashi, because in such a situation, the person had not only did not have in mind to do kachshim, he didn't have in mind to do a shchit at all. And therefore, other rishonim say that it's referring to a situation a person was working with a two simonim of an animal that must be cut when we do a shchita. And as he was working with those two simonim, that's how the simonim got severed. But he didn't have explicitly in mind to do a full-fledged ma'aseh shchita. That also carries with it difficulty, because again, that is an issue that reflects a concept regarding shchita. And Al Gemara seems to be discussing something which is unique to kachim, not to hichlas shchita. And therefore, there are other mafarshim that explain misasik b'kachim refers to a situation that he doesn't at all realize that there are karbonis. You know, when a person is working with a carbon, at least he recognizes it's a carbon. He may not have the right machshava, he might have forgotten something. But here it's referring to a situation that the person is totally unaware that he's working with karbonis. In a case where he's totally unaware that he's working with kabbonis, that's when the halacha will be that's considered a misasik b'kodshim. Amalei zubi yedeinuhu, to which Shmuel said to Rav Huna, we were quite familiar already with this point. Zubi yedeinuhu. What we wanted to know was la'akiv minayin. How do we know that if, as we know, shana law kosev of la'akiv, that the Torah says that wherever the Torah says that wherever the there's a halacha by kachim, for that halacha to be absolutely essential, the halacha has to be repeated a second time. So the Gemara wants to know la'akiv minayin. How do we know that this is essential? Tamaloima, for that the pasuk says l'tzaynchem hizbechu l'datchem zvichu. You have to have some sort of intent that it should be a carbon for it to be considered a valid kachim, to be valid by kachim. Otherwise, it will not be considered valid by kachim. Very interesting discussion here between the Achiezer and the Reb Chaim Oizer and the Chazon Ish. The Mishnah says the Emsecht Bechayris. The halacha is that a kohen shoita is not allowed to do the avodah, and the Gemara brings psukim how we know that a kohen shoita passel the avodah. As, and in fact, the Mishnah says that b'diavad, it could be that the avoid of a kohen shoita is considered a valid avoid. So as Rukiveger, if we learn now, Damas Asik Bekotchim is not considered a valid avoidah. So ask Rukiveger, if so, every shoita falls into the category of misasik, and therefore his avoidah should not be valid, even b'diavad. Answers Dachiezer. Though when Al Gemara says that a misasik is not considered a valid avoidah, that's only regarding the shechita. The Mishnah Masechet Bechayrus is not referring to the shechita. The Mishnah Masechet Bechayrus is referring to the other parts of the avoidah. Chazon Ish disputes the Achiezer, and he says that if our Gemara just finished teaching us that a misasik is disqualified, it refers to all aspects of the avoidah, shechita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika. But how come then Shaita's avoida is acceptable by the Yevit? So he says a very interesting pshat. He says that we learned earlier in Am Sechta that, and we know the halach is, that a kohen who's a baal mum, his avoida is disqualified. And therefore, said the Gemara, that not only obviously if a kohen who's a baal mum did the zrika, is the zrika considered a disqualified zrika? But even let's say the kohen, when he did the actual zrika, was not a baal mum. But before the dam landed on the mizbeach, he became a baal mum. Such a zrika would also be considered a disqualified zrika, because the kohen has to be a valid kohen throughout. Says the Chazon Ish, that what would be the halacha if somebody threw, and it's not only by shechita, it's by zrika, for example, somebody threw the dam when he was not a shaita, and before the dam landed on the mizbeach, he became a shaita. Says the Chazon Ish, the din of misasik, even if we explain that the din of misasik is not limited to shechita, but it also applies to Kabbalah halacha zrika, it's only when the actual zrika is done. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, if the person wasn't a shaita when the actual zrika was done, even if he became a shaita, Rachman al Tzlan, before the zrika was completed, it's not similar to the case of Balmum. Because by Balmum, there's a din that the avoida has to be completed by a kohen who's not a Balmum. And therefore, if the before the zrika was completed, he became a Balmum, the avoida is possible. However, here it's a din in the action, in the active part of the avoida. When the actual active part of the avoida is done, you may not be a misasik. And a shoita is certainly a misasik. But once the avoida is completed, there's no psor misasik, and the same din would be regarding a shoita. And that's why the Mishnah Masechta Bechayrus teaches us that the eved, if the actual zrika was done before the kohen became a shoita, even though he became a shoita before the dam landed on the mizbeach, that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. The lechatchila of such a avoda is not kosher, but the eved is kosher. Furthermore, we discussed the other day a question discussed by the Shalos Tshuvos Eretz Tzvi by the Kofel Gavarov regarding the cipher who was writing a Sefer Torah, and he wrote the word Aleph Lamed, where he was writing the word, it was supposed to mean Aleph Lamed, the name of Hashem, but by mistake he had in mind the word Al. As he quotes the opinion of the Taz, that any cipher before he begins to write a Sefer Torah, in the morning he has in mind Kol Oisa Al Das Rishoyna Hu Oisa, and he has in mind that everything he's going to write should be Al Das Rishoyna, that it should be with the proper Kavona, and therefore, even if he had improper kavana, the wrong understanding, the Sefer Torah, the word would have the Kedushas Hashem, as we discussed. Says the Eretz Tzvi himself, and so says the Beis Yitzchak as well, that it could be that even if we say Kol Ha'Oisa Al Das Rishoyna Hu Oisa, still, if it's a situation of Misasek, where he has absolutely no kavana, or even worse than that, he has the wrong kavana, even though we've established that there's a rule of kala oisal das rishayna hu oisa, that doesn't help, for example, in our Gemara. We still say that if the actual shechita, if the actual avoid was done as a misaseh, it's not kosher. And the same would be that even if the cipher begins his writing with the intention of kala oisal das rishayna hu oisa, when he specifically had the very wrong intention, the halacha will be that's considered an invalid. It would not be considered shame Hashem at all, and therefore could be even perhaps erased. So we learned at the end of the Mishnah, she'ena machshava halachas alacha oivid. It is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that when it comes to pigel, the only one that can make a carbon pigel is the kohen. Says the Gemara, masnisin b'loikai tana. Our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of the following tana. The Tanya, Amr Belozer, Rabbi Yossi, Shemati, Shabbal Mafagum. I understand that not only does the Kohen have the ability to make the carbon into pigel, but so does the owner of the carbon have such an ability. Amr Rava explains Rava, my Talmud Rabbi Elazar. What is the basis for Rabbi Elazar's decision? Dama Kra, Fehikriv, Hamakriv. By the Torah calling the owner of the carbon Hamakriv, the Torah is saying that he has the same status as the Kohen who actually does the Avoida. And just like we're learning that the Kohen that actually does the Avoida certainly has the ability to make the carbon into pigel, so too does the owner. Comments Abaya. Am Abaya, Belozer, Reb Yossi, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon ben Elozar, Kula Sfirlu, they all have the opinion, Zem Chashiv, that if somebody has the machshava, the zeh oivid, and somebody else is the kohen who's actually doing the avoida, have a machshava, it's going to be considered a machshava that the carbon should be considered pigel. And in all other areas of halacha, as we're going to see, actually the Karen Oira discusses who will be over the lav in such a situation where the owner had the machshava and somebody else actually did the avoida. Will it be the avera of the kohen, or will it be the avera of the owner? Says the Gemara, Belozer, Rabbi Yossi, Adamaron, as we just explained. The owner has the machshava, the kohen does the avoida, and yet it's considered a situation of pigel. Rabbi Elazar, where do we see the opinion of Rabbi Elazar? The Tanan, the Mishnah says in Masechta Chulin, Hashoich Lev Kechavit, if somebody shechs an animal on behalf of an akum, shkitasik shera, it's perfectly fine. Rabbi Elazar paisel. Why? Because Rabbi Elazar holds that stam machsheves oivdei avoid kechavim, that we have to assume that a oivdei avoid kechavim, when he has an animal or has anything machshavtei avoid zara, he's thinking about avoid zara, and therefore we have to assume here too that this person, that the owner, the guy, is thinking about Avodah Zarah, even though he's not the one that's actually slaughtering the animal, it still will be considered Zeh Mechashiv. His Machshava has an effect on the status of the animal's kashrus. Rav Shimon Elozer, where do we find the opinion of Shimon Elozer? The Tanya. Kalam Rav Shimon Elozer. The halacha, as we know, is on Shabbos, one may not carry Rishus HaYochel, Rishus HaRabim. One may not carry four amos in Rishus HaRabim. The halacha is, but when and what are you chayiv for carrying? So he says a rule. Kosh ein kosh latznia. If something is not normally stored, the example given is something that's asur b'hana, something like dam nida, ve'im etznin kamayu, and people, even if it's something that's stored, but it's such a small amount that people normally don't store such a small amount, there's no chayiv hatzah to carrying this item. Says Rav Shimon Elozer, Huchshel zeh etznei. We have an item that for this person who stored it away, it's considered a significant amount. But the person who's actually carrying it, to him, it's insignificant. Yet, says Rav Shimon Elozer, or bo achav etzion, if somebody else carries it, mischayiv zeh b'machshava shel zeh. This one had the machshava, the one that stored it away, and this one did the actual act, and yet this person's machshava could affect my chiv on Shabbos. So again, we see the ability of somebody else's thinking to have an effect on me. Says the Gemara. Tavayu. Certainly, both Rebbe Lezer, who spoke about the halacha of Avodah Zarah, slaughtering an animal for Avodah Zarah, and Rav Shimon Elazar, who speaks about Shabbos, Islay Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Yossi, certainly agree with Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Yossi. Because hashta b'chutz, if not, when it's not affecting an Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, where Machshava plays much less of a role, Aminon, they say that a machshava of one person can affect someone else. Bifnim, in a situation which applies to a carbon, where certainly, as we've been learning in our perek specifically, the power of machshava, because in our perek we've been learning that pigel, which is all based on machshava, certainly can have an effect. The machshava of the owner can affect the avoida of the kohen. Rav Lazar of Yossi, however, who set his rule by pigel, less lutavayu, does not necessarily have to agree with what the other two hold, because Dilma, because perhaps b'fnin hu d'arminin, only in the Beis HaMikdash itself, where Machshava plays such a vital role, does he hold that halacha. Avol, b'chutz, outside the Beis HaMikdash, where we don't find that Machshava plays such a vital role, the halacha will be different. Rav Shimon Elazar, who spoke about Shabbos, certainly will hold by Rav Elazar, because hashta b'Shabbos, if by Shabbos we hold that one person machshava could affect somebody else's act, b'avod chavim, certainly b'avod zara, machshava has much more of a role to play. Certainly by Avodah Zarah, Machshava has much more of a role to play. However, Rebbe Lezer, Leslie Rebbe Shimon Elazar, it doesn't mean that Rebbe Lezer, who set his din by Avodah Zarah, will agree to Rebbe Shimon Elazar, who set his din by Shabbos. Because Dilma Avodah Kachavim Hu Da'amrit. Maybe it's only by Avodah Zarah where he said this halacha, because it's similar that it's talking about a shita. And just like by kachim, there's a concept of one person's machshava affects the other person's status, so too it will be by shita l'shem avodah zarah. Avo Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, melech's machshavas asu Torah, it has to be a melech's machshavas, and somebody else's machshava doesn't turn this into a malach of mine. And since it doesn't turn it into a malach of mine, it will not be considered chayiv. Before we complete our parak and begin the next parak, there's a fantastic kasha asked by Rav Yosef Engel. In fact, he wrote a whole sefer just on this question. The name of the sefer is Gevura Shmoinim. And the reason it's called Gevura Shmoinim is because he had 80 terutzim to this one question. In fact, I saw that there are those that suggest that he actually had more than 80 answers to this question. He wanted to call the sefer Gevura Shmoinim, so he only mentioned 80 terutzim, but he himself really had more than 80 terutzim. And the Stechemin also mentions this question and brings down many terutzim. The question is as follows: if we've just learned the opinion of Rav Lazar of Shimon, Rav Lazar of Yossi is of the opinion that the owner has the ability to make a carbon into pigel. So he asks, we know the Gemara Masechta Sota teaches us that there was an entire procedure, an entire process that had to take place when a Sota was brought to the Beis HaMikdash. And not only was there an entire procedure that had to be followed, but as the Gemara Masechta Sota teaches us, every element, every part of that procedure was absolutely essential. And one of the things was that they had to bring a carbon mincha, a minchas kanoz, it's called. Now, the owner of this carbon mincha is this woman who's suspected and accused of adultery. Therefore, asked the Gevura Shmoinim that every woman who's a soita should have in mind a machsheves pigel.
A quarter below the Rabbi Yossi, if the owner of the carbon has in mind a machsheves pigol, the carbon will become pigol. If the carbon is pigol, it's an invalid carbon. If it's invalid carbon, that essential element of the procedure is missing, and therefore the mayim, the water of the saita, will not have any effect on her. So how could it be? How can we understand this entire concept? That's the question of Rav Yosef Engel. As I said, there are many, many answers given to this question. We'll mention a few of them. One answer is that the din of Minchas Kanos is an exception to the rule, which means as follows, that indeed, normally, as according at least to Rav Elazar Rav Yosef, the owner has the ability to make a carbon at the pigol. But if the Torah taught us that a soita has to bring a carbon mincha, and the Torah taught us that a kohen has to bring, that the soita has to bring a carbon mincha, and its bringing is absolutely essential, if the Torah knew that the woman could always make it into pigol, what have we accomplished? And therefore, pigol, this minchas kanos, is an exception to this rule. Another teretz is that it was only said that even Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi that says that an owner can make a carbon at the pigol, it's only by kachim kalim, not by kachim kachim. And carbon mincha, as we know, is kachim kachim. Another teretz is that it's only by the shechita of a carbon that the owner can make it into pigol. Carbon mincha, there is no shechita. Another teretz that I saw is that since the Karban Mincha, and the Gemara said this svara, the Karban Mincha of a Saita is not brought l'kapara, the Karban Mincha, as we just explained, is levarer oven, to determine if this woman did or didn't do anything, did have an adulterous relationship. When is there a halacha that the owner has the ability to make a carbon pigol? When the carbon is brought for the sake of kapara, but where the carbon is brought levarer oven, there, the owner doesn't have the ability to make the carbon into pigol. Another teretz along the same line, that since the carbon mincha soita is a very unique carbon, it's one of the only two types of carbon mincha that's brought from sa'orim, from barley. So since it's unique in that element, the halacha will be that's also unique in it's also unique that the owner can't make it into pigol. Another teretz that I saw is only a carbon that could be brought on in the bummer is that halacha can make it, the owner can make it into pigol. The halacha is that the mincha saita wasn't brought on the bummer. Another teretz is that there are actually three parties involved in the carbon mincha: the husband, the wife, and the kohen. So the husband and wife are considered the owners of the carbon. Since they're considered the owners of the carbon, it's only if both of them have the machsheves pigol will the carbon become pigol. Here it's only the wife who has that machsheva and not the husband, and therefore it's not the case where both all the owners have the machsheves pigol, and therefore it doesn't turn into pigol. Another teretz is that in order for the owner to have the ability to make a carbon into pigol, the owner was supposed to stand in the azara during the avoida with the carbon, and they did not allow the woman who was the saita to stand in the azara while the kohen was doing the avoida with the carbon mincha for this very reason, in order that she should not be able to make the carbon into pigol and invalidate this entire procedure. One final teretz, as I said, there are many more teretz, we've mentioned quite a few. We'll mention one more, which I think is actually pretty obvious in the words of Rashi in our sugya. When does the owner of a carbon have the ability to make the carbon into pigol? That's in a case where the kohen doesn't have any specific machshava that the carbon should be kosher. That means, like we discussed in the previous year, it was a situation of stomach. He didn't have any specific kavanah. But in a situation where the kohen has specific intent that the carbon should be a kosher carbon, there, even Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi will agree that the owner doesn't have the ability to turn the carbon into pigol. Only when the Kohen has no specific intent can the intent of the owner take root. So therefore, explains the Dvur Shmaidim, what they used to do is tell the Kohen who was doing the Avodah, the Michas Saita, to specifically have the proper Kavanah. Once he'll specifically have the proper Kavanah, the woman's Kavanah, even if it's a Kavanah Pigel, will be meaningless. Hanulach Beishamai, Hanulach Beishamai, Hanulach Beishamai. We begin the Perek of Ezra Koyman. As we all know, this is a very famous set of Mishnayos that is said every morning by Kabbonis. And in fact, the Mefarshim give many different reasons why this Perek is said every day. One explanation is because this is a Perek where there are no machloikis. We're supposed to begin the day saying Mikra, Mishnah, and Brisa. So we say the Psukim, that's the Mikra of the Psukim of the Kabbonis. We say this Mishnah, and then we say a Brisa, the Brisa of Tam Dever Bishmol. And since this is the Mishnayis in this Perek have no machloikis, they chose specifically to say these Mishnayis. Not to say, point out the Mefarshim, point out the Mefarshim that there are no Mechloikis regarding the issues raised in the Mishnayis of this Perek. Rather, what it means is that the Mishnayis don't quote any Mechloikis. But it's not that all the rules in this Perek there is no Mechloikis about. Another pshat that I saw is that the number of words of the Mishnayis in this Perek are 344, and if we add the fact that we read it, it comes to 345, which is the gematria of the word Moshe, to teach us that this Perek is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Another explanation, which is very much in line with what we've been learning in this Masechta, is Zois Tairus Oila Kilo Hikrav Oila, Zois Tairus Asha, that when somebody learns the halacha about a carbon, it's as if he brought that carbon, and therefore, since nowadays we don't have the ability to bring kabbonis, at least speaking about the halacha of the kabbonis should give us that schus. Interesting to note that the Shulchan Aruch Harav says that if someone learns anyway, so since he's learning anyway, he's matayim the chiyuv to learn Mishnayis, and therefore he doesn't have to learn, say, Perek Ez Mekonim every day. He should say it once in a while. On the other hand, I saw from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that he says that he was very careful to say Perek Ez Mekonim every day, and he would come to shul early specifically to say it. Of course, he said not at the expense of missing Tefillah B'Tzibur. But then I saw a very interesting explanation given by the Sfas Emes why to say specifically Perek Ez Mekonim. He says that we know that the Gemara says the Brachas, Kol HaKaveh Mokam L'Tefilosoi Elokei Avraham Ba'Ozroi. He says, just like we know that if somebody wants that his tefillah should be answered, he should daven the minyan, so too, he says, a crucial way of having one's tefillah answered is to have a makom kavua, to have a specific place where you stand or you sit when you daven. Where do we learn that from? So he says, that's the lesson of this parak. Eizu mekayim shazvachim. We see that when the kabbonis were brought, how, and that will be the subject of our Perek in Mitzvah Shem, how absolutely crucial it was that they should be brought, that there was a specific place for the Shechita, a specific space for every part of the Avodah. So we see that the place for the Avodah is so important. And therefore, as a person is about to begin to daven, he says the Perek Ezu Mekoyman, to show that he has to remind him that he has to be Kaveh Mokam with philosophy. To the degree that the Sfas Emes says a very sharp word. He says, as I quoted the Gemara, Kalakaveh Mokam Tfilosoi Elokei Avram Ozroi. Why Dafka Avram Vinu? So Pashat Pshat is because the Gemara says that Avram Vinu had a specific place, Asha'amat Sham, where he always davened. So Avram was the first one that was Kavei and Mokum with Tfilosai. But he suggests another Pshat. Avram Avinu, we know, davened without a minion, because he didn't have a minion. So, what helped that Avram Avinu's tefillah should be miskabel? The fact that he was kaveya mokum. Therefore, he says it's so important that a person should be kaveya mokum for his tefillah. And certainly, if a person has both, that he davened the minion and he's kaveya mokum, certainly his tefillah will be answered. The Magen Avraham does, however, point out that a person can be considered davening in a makom kavua even if it's within four amis of where he normally sits. There are those that even go as far as to say if a person always davens in the same base HaKnesses or the same base HaMedrash, that's also considered that he was kavei makom. But Pashup Shan Halacha is that a person should daven where in the same seat every day. Also, they say that he should sit and stand in one place, not walk around during the davening, all based on Kviyas Mokum, with philosophy. The Magen Avraham furthermore says that even though, as we explained earlier, one should say this parak Eiz Mekayman every day, says the Magen Avraham, but of course one must understand what he's saying when he says this parak Eiz Mekayman. Otherwise, there is no purpose. I saw that the Chidah and others say that when the Magen Avraham says that one should understand, it doesn't mean that he should understand the Mishnah with all the Pshatim, although hopefully Be'ezer Hashem, after we learn this parak, we will have a much deeper understanding of the Mishnayis and that we say. Just understanding the words is adequate, and other places can suggest that the Magen Avraham was only speaking to the individual who has the ability to understand this parak with all of its meaning. But of course, if somebody doesn't have that ability, we can't have an issue with him if he just says the words without really understanding them. So says the Mishnah. Where is the place that kabbanah should be slaughtered? Kachi kachim. When we speak about kabbanahs that are kachi kachim, the halach is shchitason b'tzofen. The kachi kachim should be slaughtered in the tzofen of the azara. As we've learned earlier, there's actually a machlokes what is considered tzofen of the azara. There are those that consider, there's one opinion that specifically the north of the mizbeach is the tzofen, nowhere else. Another opinion is that it extends also to the area between the mizbeach and the opening of the ulam. And there's a third opinion that we learned that it also extends to the Ezra's Kohanim and the Ezra's Yisrael. So Ez Mekayim Shal Zvachim, Kachi Kachim Ashkitasim B'tzofen. Mefarshim point out that the Mishnah begins with the question Ez Mekayim Shal Zvachim, and that it seems to be speaking about all Kabbonis. And then the Mishnah singles out the Kachi Kachim. So explain the Mefarshim that since the Halacha is that even though Kachi Kachim must be slaughtered b'tzofen, all other kabbonis don't have to be slaughtered b'tzofen, but they may be slaughtered b'tzofen. So that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. Eiz mekayim shel zvachim, all kabbonis can be slaughtered b'tzofen. The only nafkamina is the kachi kachim shchitasan must be b'tzofen. The other kabbonis don't have to be b'tzofen, but they may be b'tzofen. Also, interesting question that the Mefarshim discuss: the tzofen obviously is considered a more holy place. That's why we see the Kachi Kedoshim Shchitasim B'tzofen. The question is it that the Tzofen is holier? Why is it holier? Because the Shulchan was B'tzofen, and therefore that was the place designated for Shchitasim B'tzofen, for the Shchita, or does it work the other way around? Because we find that the Torah says that Kachi Kachim Shchitasim B'tzofen, therefore the halach is that the tzofen is considered holier. Par Sashim Kippurim. We spoke about the par and Sashim Kippur. Shchitasim b'tzofen are slaughtered b'tzofen. The kibul dam b'klisharis b'tzofen. And the kabbalah stam of these kabbonis is in the klisharis also in the tzofen. So here we have a very fundamental machloikas rishayim.
The Rabbeinu Ephraim, Tosfos quotes him, says that since we find that our Mishnah only by the Kibbul Daman says the halacha that it should be done by Kli Sharis, by the Shechita it doesn't speak about a Kli Sharis, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, from here we see that the Shechita of a carbon could be done even without a Kli Sharis. And he explains it's all an extension of the halacha that we've discussed previously, that the halacha is that the Shechita is Ksheir Bizar. So just like the halacha is that Shechita is Ksheir Bizar, so too is the halacha that the Shechita doesn't have to be done by Kli Sharis. And as Devin Ozel, Rabbi Zalman, explains, he says there are two reasons why Kli Sharis should be used. One is that by using the Kli Sharis, you mekadish the item, as we learned, by putting the Karban Mincha to Kli Sharis, the Karban Mincha gets a Kedusha. And the other reason is that an Avoida has to be done with a Kli Sharis. Says Rabbi Zalman, both of those requirements don't exist by Shechita. The animal receives the Kedusha because the owner of the animal was magdish the animal. So therefore, we don't need the Kli Sharis, the knife of the kachim, to make the animal kadosh. And furthermore, since this is an avoida, as we just said a moment ago, that's kosher to be done by a zar, so there is no halacha that the avoida should only be done by Kli Sharis, and therefore, as Rabbeinu Ephraim said, the shechita doesn't have to be done by Kli Sharis. Another raya is because since we know the shechita doesn't necessarily have to be done even by a knife, the shechita could be done even with a blade of grass, with a sharp stick. Not that we do Shechita that way. So therefore, again, it's a raya that it doesn't have to be done with Kli Sharis. Tosfos disagrees with Rabbeinu Ephraim, and Tosfos says that, of course, the Shechita has to be done with Kli Sharis. So if so, why doesn't the Mishnah say so? So he says, because the Mishnah wants to point out that since the Kibbul Damam has a different halacha than the Shechita, because as we're going to learn in the Gemara Mitzvah, that by the Kibbul Damam, it's not just enough that the keli and the animal should be betzofen, but actually the kohen who's doing the kabbalas hadom has to be betzofen. Whereas by shechita, as long as the animal is betzofen, even if the shoychit is not betzofen, the shechita is considered fine. So to show that difference, that's why the Mishnah used the words shechitasim betzofen, and by kibbul damim it added the word the kli sharis betzofen. V'damim pan hazoya. Then the blood of these kabbonis, these carbon that were brought on Yom Kippur, require sprinkling. Abein habadim, the kohen would enter the kodesh hakodashim, stand between the two poles of the aron hakodesh, and sprinkle achas lamala v'sheva lamata. In the bayis sheni, where there was no aron kodesh, he stood over there in that spot where it was the evan shesia shememenu shusasa olam, the foundation of the world, and that's how he did it. And then they did Zrika on the Proichus, and then they did Al Mizbach Azov, Matana Ma'achas Mem Yakeves. Every one of these sprinkles is absolutely essential. And the Shita points out that why does the Mishnah change its wording? First it uses the word Hazov, and then it uses the word Matana. So it explains as follows. The Zrika on the Bein Habadim, the Zrika on the Proichus were unique Zrikas to these Kabbonis. But the Zrika on the Mizbeach, which is a Zrika that every carbon has to have application of the Dam on the Mizbeach. So we would think that only the Zrikas which are unique, every Zrika is absolutely essential. But the Zrikas which are not so unique, the Zrika on the Mizbeach, the Matana Mizbeach, given that it's not that unique, doesn't have this halacha. That's why it says Matana. Here it's a Matana, just like the Matanas by all other Kabbalists. But this Matana, Ma'akeves, is absolutely essential. They would pour it on the foundation of Mizbeach Achitzin. However, that is Shiar Adam and Loi Noson Loi Ikev. Very interesting vart that I saw from the Arab Tzvi, from the Kofel Gavarov. He says that we know typically that halacha is ma'alim b'kodesh v'lemuridim. So if we go up
shouldn't have been just the opposite order. The first they should have done the Zrika on the Mizdeach, then go to the Parayches, and then go to the Aron. And here we see that it was just the opposite. So he makes a very interesting point. He says that what is the purpose of this Zrika? He says the purpose of this Zrika is to, on Yom Kippur, is to affect Kapara. How is Kapara affected? Kapara is affected through tshuva. Where does tshuva begin? Tshuva begins in our heart, in the depths of our heart. And then it goes further, it expands to the rest of us. What is the depths of a Jew's heart? Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest of the holy. And therefore we start by the Bein Abadim, which teaches us how the tshuva should begin. It should begin in our heart and expand to the rest of us. Par Menasofim, Asiyah Menasofim, we discussed extensively in the previous perek that there were the Par Helm Dovish HaTzibur and the Par Koy Mashiach, or the Asiyah Menasofim, the Sarah of Adizara. There too the Halacha is Shchitasim B'Tzofim, the Chibol Domim B'Klisharis B'Tzofim, the Domim Tana Hazoya. Here the blood requires sprinkling, Al HaProiches, V'Mizbech Hazov, and here too the Halacha is Matana Maximum Merkevis. Every Matana is absolutely essential. And here too the halacha is Shari Hadam HaYisshofech HaYisoy Maravi Shemizbech HaChitzin V'moy Nasan La'ikiv. Says the Gemara, Eilu V'Eilu, all of the time that we have Parim and Srafim, where the animal is then burnt, where is the animal actually burnt? The halacha is that the animal is burnt Abeis HaDeshim. There was a place outside of Yerushalayim where they would transport every day, besides for the avoid of the Truma Sedation, where they would transport the excess ash that was on the Mizbeach, and in that place is the place where the Parim HaNisrofim and Sirim HaNisrofim were actually burnt. Mefarshim explain, our Mishnah teaches us Eiz Mekayim Shel Zvachim Kachet Kedoshim Shmitasim B'Tzofim, along the lines of the Vart that we said a few moments ago. If a person wants to do tshuva, how is a person supposed to do tshuva? Shchitasim b'tzofim. He has to go to the depths of his heart. He has to go to the depths of his heart, and so will his tshuva be considered a valid tshuva. Another interesting pshat that I saw is that the Yetzer Hara, when he sees a person who is a Talmud Chacham, a Yerushmayim, knows that if he tells such a person to do an Aveira, which is an obvious Aveira, the person will not pay attention to him. So what does the Yetzer Hara do? He comes and tries to convince him to do things that are not obvious Aveiras. Not only that, maybe he could try to convince the person that what he's influencing him to do is actually a mitzvah. Teaches us the Mishnah, Shchitason, if you want to successfully slaughter the Yetzer Hara, it's often. You have to slaughter, you have to be able to say, you have to be able to take the things that are softened, the things that are hidden, the things that aren't obvious as a virus, and shech them and not do them. One more pshat. Shchitasim it's often. It's often means something that's hidden. If one wants to be successful in his avodas Hashem, what's required, explained the Mefarshim, is b'tzofen. He should do things quietly. He should do things without fanfare. People should not think, and he shouldn't try to convince, show as if he's doing a mitzvah. If he acts in such a way, shchitasim b'tzofen, if he acts that everything he does is hidden, b'hatznei leches, he will be successful. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah began with a general rule. Kachin kachin ashritasim b'tzofim. So why didn't the Mishnah also say a general rule? The listening nami, the chibul damin, the klisharis b'tzofim. That the chibul damin has to be always in the klisharis and the tzofim. Answers the Gemara. Kivin the ikasham b'tzoyra. The chibul damin b'yadehu. That, as we're about to learn, there were two applications of the dam osham, of the osham that was brought by the b'tzoyra as he completes his purification process. One was that the Osham was sprinkled on the dam of the Osham was sprinkled on the Mizbeach,
like by all kabbonis,
and the kabbalah stam was therefore beklisharis like always. But on the other hand, there was also part of the dam that was put into the hand of the kohen. Since we have that exception to the rule, that's what shayrin. V'loy, ask the Gemara, are we trying to say that the kibbal dam of the Osher Metzora wasn't in the klisharis? V'aktanil el kamon, we're going to learn further. Asher Nozer, v'asher Metzora, shchitasim betzofen, v'kibbal dam v'klisharis betzofen. Answers the Gemara, mikara sofer, and as the Mefarshim explained, it's not that there was a changing of the mind, there was a mistake. Our Mishnah wanted to focus on the fact that kibbal dam v'yadu, that part of the kabbalah stam of the carbon Osher Metzora was done in the hands of the kohen, and that's why our Mishnah Shairi did not state a general rule that the kibbal dam is of kodesh kedoshim is always mitzafen. The kivin, however, since the halacha indeed is that even by that carbon Osher, as certainly by other carbon Oshers, like sagla el bekeli, that you also have to have kibbal dam in the keli. That's why Hadatanya later in our parak we do make that point, not that one should chas v'sholem think that it's only kibbal dam in the yad of the kohen. The Tanya, as the Brice explains, the procedure to the kabbalah stam, the lokach, the Torah says that the kohen should take dam of the carbon osham and place it on the right toe and the right thumb and the right ear of the mitzvira. Yochel b'keli, we would think that that dam that he's going to do this avoidu with should be taken into a keli. Pameloima v'nosan. Man nesina, just like when it comes to the nesina, it's done the atzma shekoyim with the finger, not through any vessel. Af l'kicha, the acceptance of that dam should be done biyad with the kohen himself, in the kohen's palm, not batna shekoyim, in the palm of the kohen, not through a keli. Yochel, I would think that the dam of the osham, the mitzvah, that's going to be sprinkled on the mizbeach, should also not be taken in a keli, but in the hand of the kohen. Yochel afel mizbeach kein, tamalon ki chatas ha'oshamu. Ma chatas, just like by karmel chatas, when there's kabbalah stam, it's two in a keli, it's in the keli. Af osham, so too by the carbon osham, two in a keli. Mintas at the oimer, osh mitzvah, shnei kohanim, and the kabbalah mitzvah, there were two kohanim that did the kabbalah stam. Echas piyat, one kohen did the kabbalah stam in the hand, v'achas b'keli, and one did the kabbalah stam in the keli. Zeh shekibbal b'keli, the one that did the kabbalah stam in the keli, bolei etz mizbeach, comes to the mizbeach and does this rikas stam on the mizbeach. Zeh shekibbal b'yad, and the one that has the kabbalah stam in his yad, bolei etz mitzora, approaches the mitzora and it places the dam on the various parts of the mitzora's body that we just identified a moment ago.